Good morning. I'm Mary Lynn Polk, lay leader for Main Street, and I want to welcome you to our sanctuary this morning for our worship service. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing the hymn of preparation in your bulletin. I do want you to read your bulletin today. It's got a lot of important announcements in it, and I just want to call your attention to a couple there and then emphasize a few other things. The sign-up sheet for the pictorial directory, and you got this in your newsletter that gave you information about our new directory and how important it is that we get pictures of everybody, and how helpful it is to all of us in the church. There's a sign-up table just outside this door, and there's one outside the fellowship hall. So please don't forget to take the time to pick a time to come be pictured in the life of our church. We are also interested in getting some feedback from you folks. You will notice in your bulletin another important piece of information. There are inserts in the bulletin about our town hall meeting, and that's going to take place August the 12th at 6:30. Now, there's some topics, just general topics that are listed here that we would like for you to make some questions, some notations, some suggestions, some ideas, and drop it in the offering plate. If you want to take it home and think about it, you can also email them to the church office. And there will be an article coming out in this next newsletter that I'm going to give you some questions for you to consider, to brainstorm on, because, of course, Christian education is the heart of the spiritual life of the church, and we would like to see what we can do to beef it up, energize it, make it more spiritual. So please plan on coming to the town hall meeting and participate in the brainstorming. I'm going to be leading it, but I am not your president. I don't have all the answers, but I do think working together, you can ask the questions and we can come up with answers together, okay? So that's very important that you look at that insert and add that to it. I also want you to look at the Bible study information that's mentioned in the newsletter. Look at the information on the different classes that are available and sign up. We're going to be doing the disciple study a little bit differently this year. Finally, choir rehearsals will begin on August the 5th, and I also want to invite you to a fun event. If you can possibly squeeze it in your busy work life, come to the fellowship hall about 11:30 on Wednesday so that you can hear the Good Vibrations handbell camp recital. Now, if you would please sign the register as it goes up and down your pew and speak to your fellow friends and neighbors that are sitting next to you. Now, let us continue our worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. Good morning. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Draw near to God who has heard your complaining. Come in the name of Jesus who understands your needs. We have received manna in the wilderness. We have been offered the bread of life. Open yourselves to God's steadfast love. Be honest with the Holy One who knows all you do. We are judged according to our deeds. Our secret sins are known to God. The Holy Spirit has come to restore your joy. God's presence is real to those who accept God's gifts. Whoever comes to Jesus will not be hungry. Whoever trusts in Christ will never be thirsty.
I invite you to join me. Our invocation is found in your bulletin. We hear you calling us, loving God, to a life of humility, gentleness, and patience. Keep your call before us in this hour, that we may recognize and celebrate our oneness in Jesus Christ. May your Spirit unite us in the bond of peace. Speak to us of the Savior who bore humanity's shame, that we might learn to bear one another in love. Draw us to a common faith. In spite of our differences, lead us into new depths of trust beyond our knowing, and along new pathways of service, outdistancing our fears. Amen. I have changed the epistle reading. It will be the fourth chapter of Ephesians, but further on, beginning with verse 17 and going to verse 32. Hear now God's word through the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians and also to us. Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ. For surely you have heard about him and were taught in him as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lust, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now let us join together as we pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we love you. Help us love each other. When we are away from the organ and the preacher and the choir, help us love each other. When we are having disagreements, or when we are caught being selfish or dishonest or angry, help us love each other. Lord, we tend to defend everything we do. Sometimes we are wrong and we know it. Sometimes we are right and rude about it. Save us from self-righteousness. Save us from self-pity. Save us from self-delusion. Make us useful. Make us peaceful. Make us to grow closer into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we do lift up our prayers for the leaders of our state, of our nation, and of the world. We do pray for them to be open to the influence of your Holy Spirit. We pray for this congregation, for those who grieve. We pray your comfort. For those who are undergoing treatments, we pray your hope. And for those who wait for a good word or outcome, we pray your patience. Lord, we do now lift up our private prayers, our prayers of thanksgiving, our prayers of confession, our prayers for guidance and trust and assurance. We lift them up now in silence in our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Thank you. is yours in the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our every need and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Last week, my wife and I went on a vacation, and what we like to do on vacation is go hiking. We went hiking up in the woods, and we went on this one real long trail. We call it the Hike of Death. It took us about 6 hours, and at one point, it was real, real steep. And there were a few people behind us, and we were just, you know, trying to keep up a good pace and everything. And I slid down, and because I had a real expensive camera on my neck, I decided I'm not going to roll over. I'm just going to go straight down on my back. And when I did, my right leg went all the way up under me and kind of twisted out and pointed out this way. And I don't normally bend my leg that way, but I found out it will bend that way. It doesn't like to, but it will. But what I really wanted to tell you is that these three couples behind us, they were much younger and healthier, and the reason I fell is because I was going fast, because they were going to pass us, and I didn't want that to happen. Anyway, they, as I'm just lying there on my back, asked me, you know, are you hurt? Can I help you? You know, do you need help getting up and stuff like that? And treating me kind of like an old man. I didn't like that. So I said, no, I'm fine. You know, go away. And I really wasn't fine. It did hurt. It's not, you know, permanently injured, but it did kind of hurt at the time. And I started thinking, I was being a little bit like my 3-year-old grandson. I have a 3-year-old grandson named Eli. And you know what 3-year-olds do? They say, I can do it by myself. You ever hear them do that? You ever hear little kids do that? Or do y'all do that? I can do it by myself. I don't need help. I'm just taking a nap on the trail with my leg twisted like a pretzel, but I don't need any help. I'm fine. You know, by myself. Part of the message of Jesus' teaching is that we really can't do much of anything good by ourselves. We need God, and we need each other. We also need God's Word. Part of the thing that we're doing here at worship is praising God that we do have God. We do have an example of what God's Word lived out looks like, and that's Jesus Christ. And we do have each other in the church. So we are worshiping God for the good things that God has given us and for the good news of the gospel, that we're not alone, we're not by ourselves, and we have what we need to grow in faith, to grow in love, to grow in grace, to grow in our ability to care about and to help one another. Even though there's a part of us that's like that screaming little 3-year-old that says, I can do it by myself. That's not the way God intended it. God wants us to be in relationship with Him and with each other. And we all need help sometimes. Let's have a prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for your coming to us in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your presence now through your Holy Spirit. Remind us that we weren't meant to do it alone. We weren't meant to live alone. And we are not by ourselves. You are with us always. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I saw one of those signs out in front of a church a while back. It said, "The same Bible that says believe also says behave." Now, Ephesians chapter 4, the section that I read, beginning with verse 17 there, the whole chapter is good, but beginning with verse 17 to the end of the chapter, is one of those behave chapters. Quite explicitly, Ephesians says, "Hey, you Christian folks, hey, you who talk about and sing about Jesus and God and unity and such, did you think that was only for Sundays? No, it's for every day." That's the trouble with life. It's so daily. Every day, the same Bible that says believe also says behave. Husbands and wives, behave. Moms and dads, behave. Bosses and employees, behave. Retirees, behave. Children, behave. Behave like you know there is a God and God matters. Behave as if you know there are other people and they have feelings and value and other people matter. Behave as if God's kingdom is coming in through Jesus and God's Holy Spirit every day, and God's kingdom matters. Whoever you are, and wherever you are, and even if you only casually claim the name Christian, God has a right to place some expectations on you, and how you live, and how you relate, and how you behave in the world. A more plain-spoken paraphrase of Ephesians 4 might sound like this: among Christians, unity is based upon knowledge of mutual faults. I'm not sure if you expected that or not. Mutual faults. Christians don't pretend that they have no faults. You know better. And God has given us all gifts and things to do, so don't pretend there's nothing you can do to build up God's kingdom. You know better. There are things you can do. Hold fast to Jesus' teachings. There will always be in the world ever-changing fashionable ideas. Hold fast to Jesus' teachings instead. Throw off your old sinful nature, this chapter says, and don't pretend that you don't know what that means. It's okay to have righteous indignation from time to time, but don't give in to anger. Don't steam and stew about things and make your life a soup of life-stealing bitterness. Stop stealing, stop telling lies. And if you think those words are for other people only, you probably know better. There are boundaries for Christians. Stay inside them. Don't pretend whatever you want is good because you want it. Grow up. As I paraphrase Paul, you know better. Work hard and give generously toward the end of the chapter, it tells us. And verse 32, I'm going to read, not paraphrase. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Behave in that way, a Christ-like way. The way you know that God in Christ has behaved toward you. Too often we forget that the good news of the gospel, God loves you, is first kind of bad news. Very often we aren't that lovable. The good news, God forgives you, presumes that each and every day, every one of us needs forgiving. It's funny, when I talked about this passage out at the Wesley Commons Wisdom of the Ages group week before last, that one little section there about anger became the focus. And I'm not sure why. It wasn't just our group, I don't think. I could spend the rest of the sermon time talking about anger since the Apostle Paul brought it up here in Ephesians. But then I thought, if I do that, some of you might read into my focus that anger was the theme of mine and Caroline's vacation last week. And it wasn't. We took Tuesday off. The Greeks called anger a short madness. And y'all started thinking about this. They called
anger a short madness. You know, madness in terms of insanity. We literally and linguistically agree with that. Have you ever thought about it? When we get angry, we say we get mad. Madness means a short little out of our minds. When angry, we say we're just a little bit mad, a little bit out of our minds. Police say that most murders have their roots in a sort of madness. Anger can be very, very dangerous. It's not a small thing. An attitude of simmering anger is an open door to evil and disunity and violence against others and even violence against yourself. The writer, Hunter S. Thompson, some of you may know the name and some not, but he had kind of a life on the edge. He committed suicide a few years ago at age 67. And his addiction to drugs and alcohol and his abusive action, even violent action towards others, was no secret. After his death, his first wife, Sandy, wrote this. She wrote, "He was on the one hand extremely loving and tender and brilliant and exciting, and on the other end of the spectrum, he was extremely cruel. I will never forget something Hunter once said to me. In one of his tender moments, I asked him if he knew when he was about to become the monster. He said, 'Sandy, it's like this. I sense it first, and before I have completely turned around, he is there, and he is me.'" Anger, that brief madness, can make us behave monstrously toward others, especially toward those who are closest to us. I'm not naive. I know that some of us are perfectly pleasant here in church and given over to anger and bitterness away from here. Ephesians says, don't live that way. You don't have to live that way. God doesn't want that sort of madness and tripwire anger for you or those near you every day. Pray for the power to forgive and be done with the old bitterness turned to anger. It is not a good thing. It is outside the boundary of Christian living. It destroys unity and relationship, and it undermines your gifts and your witness to your faith. Not as an excuse, but toward understanding. I do agree with Max Lucado, who said that he can trace most anger back to hurt. Not as an excuse, but toward understanding. He wrote, "Resentment is when you let your hurt become hate. Resentment is when you allow what is eating you to eat you up. Resentment is when you poke and stoke and feed and fan the fire and stir the flames and relive the pain. Resentment is a deliberate decision to nurse the offense until it becomes a black, furry, growling grudge." I don't think I've ever seen it described better. Picture an encounter between a counselor and a new client. The counselor asks, "What would your life look like if you got rid of your anger?" And the new client was quiet for a moment, and after a while he asked, "But if I get rid of my anger, what will I have left?" How sad. How pitifully sad and wasteful to define yourself and to feel yourself alive by the energy and the madness of anger. In Tolkien's, many of you have read The Lord of the Rings, and some of you have only seen it as a movie and didn't know that it was ever a book, but in Tolkien's The Lord of the Ring, the character Sméagol becomes later Gollum, turned from health and wholeness into something less than human by lust for the ring and the power of the ring. I don't have time to get into lust today, but I believe that anger, when habitually given into, can do the same sort of thing. It changes us. A once healthy soul is slow roasted to a burnt crisp by the inward heat of anger. Frederick Buechner wrote this. He said, "Of the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun." That's irony. The most fun. "To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontations still to come, to savor to the last toothsome morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you are giving back. In many ways, it is a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you. The physicians among us will tell us, and the health professionals among us will tell us, that stress and anger can raise your blood pressure, harm your digestion, and even affect your immune system. But righteous indignation, such as we all know the story Jesus felt over the money changers in the temple, that is one thing. But hurt turned to bitterness, anger, and hate is quite another. And so the Apostle Paul is saying much more than a fortune cookie proverb when he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Paul is warning you against the short madness that kills your peace, destroys your relationships, and renders your gifts and talents useless. We're not meant to live on anger, nor control others with it. It happens, and it can be appropriate, but it was never meant to be a way of life, a constant threat, a cloud cover over the light of Christ within you. Proverbs 16:32 is a wonderful proverb. It says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. It is saying that self-control is real power. Now, have I touched a nerve? Don't raise your hand. Are you angry at me for touching that nerve? Angry. Then there's a problem. Good news. There is a God who can help us with that. Who have you wronged? Who has wronged you? Who do you enjoy being angry at? And yes, I know I ended that question with a preposition, but I did it for emphasis. There will be anger in your life, and there will be crossings of the boundaries that Jesus drew around our lives. But what we have to deal with that is the presence of God's reconciling Holy Spirit. We don't have to stay outside in the cold, alone and mad, and saying, I can do this by myself. God still heals. God still makes whole, and God still gives peace. Don't let the sun set on your anger does not mean stay up and fight. It means resolve it, reconcile it, forgive it, and make peace and be done with it, and move on and grow up and beyond it. Don't stay stuck and wallow in it. Don't be hurt or resentful or disappointed or whatever. Don't stay stuck and wallow in it. Resolve it, reconcile it, forgive it, make peace and be done with it. And you will need God's help to do those things. Then you can move up and beyond it. Get back your life with God's help. The life you put on hold when you decided to be angry instead. Well, it looks like I failed. I said I wasn't going to get stuck in anger on this particular sermon, but I did. There is much more to Ephesians 4. I encourage you to read it. But I suppose the bottom line is this. Not everything we want to do is good just because we want to do it. And the same Bible that says believe does also say behave. Behave as if you have met Jesus and know what He taught. That may be enough for today. That might be enough for every day. Behave as if you have met Jesus and know what He taught. Amen.
invite you to turn to page 12 in your hymnal as we prepare to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. And I want to announce to those of you who are visiting that our table is open, that you need not be a member here to participate. You are invited. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you hear the good news? Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Now let us offer one another signs of reconciliation and love. Let us pass the peace. I invite you to turn for the musical setting of communion to page 17. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now, along the lines of my children's sermon, I do need help now. I'd like my helpers to come forward. Christ was broken for you. was broken for you. The body of Christ 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 was broken for you. Are there any others I need to come to?
I'll take that.
we'll stand and sing together as we close, number 561. Receive this blessing. God loves you. Love one another. God has forgiven you. Forgive one another. In Jesus Christ, God has come near and embraced us. Come near and embrace one another in Jesus' name. Amen.